This is the 2 North Jackson Podcast with news, insights, details, and accomplishments from Alabama's 67 county governments. Welcome to the June edition of the 2 North Jackson Podcast. This month, we'll dig a little deeper around our VP, talk about a half century of service in one single courthouse. And don't look now, it's hurricane season. We will begin this month with a conversation with the vice president of the association, our friend Miles Robinson, a longtime commissioner now almost into his third decade over in Macon County. And certainly Miles has long been a fixture in the association. We appreciate you visiting with us today.
I'm so thankful to be a part of this conversation. Just look forward to it.
Miles, last August, you were elected at the convention by the association to be vice president, and process will move forward this August. At the convention, you'll move up to president-elect. Your compensation is not increased. And then next year this time, you'll be preparing to become president of the association. It's certainly an appropriate thing and a well-earned position from you, but I just wondered what made you want to seek out this office.
Serving has been a part of my DNA for a long time. Even prior to becoming a member of the Macon County Commission, I was always active in the local community, whether it be in the school system, recreation, working with kids, working with Head Start programs, Big Brother, just overall involvement in the local communities. And so the opportunity came to serve in county government. I just literally jumped at the opportunity after some encouragement by a lot of those people that I've been working with. I just love what I do in local government. And that's why I really want to serve as vice president of the association, having been involved in the association in other capacities, such as the legislative committee representing Macon County, the liability self-insurance fund, even working with state legislation, and just looking forward to serving the entire state in the office of vice president.
Well, and Macon County is one of those, in my history and memory, that's always been a very active part of this association. I can remember district meetings when the Macon County Commission group would show up in a Macon County Commission van, all riding together and showing up at the association to be involved. So it certainly has long been a tradition in Macon County. And then your position at Tuskegee University brings you to the Alabama State House on a very frequent basis. So you know your way around there, too.
That is correct. I served in the capacity of a community and economic development program leader at the university, where we have a working relationship with communities all over the state. And through the legislative process, we are always seeking resources to help sustain particular programs and serving communities, small businesses, agriculture producers, landowners, ranchers, farmers here at the College of Agriculture. That's where my time is spent representing the university around the state. So it's just been an enjoyable career of helping people access resources that are available to them such that they can further develop their operations and make a better quality of life for themselves.
Well, in resources you mentioned, I know in your day job at Tuskegee University, delivering and deploying those resources to the people who need them is a big part of what you do. And association-wise, I don't know that I've ever thought of it that way, but that's really what we do in this association, not just the staff, but you as commissioners who help each other and talk to each other and communicate to each other. And the lines between what you're doing at Tuskegee University and what you're doing as a county commissioner, they crisscross all the time. Certainly your role in Tuskegee is a little more formal than your role as county commissioner, but growing the community and helping those who need it is what county government's really about.
Yeah, it helps. And so we've had some really great examples of recent progress with industrial recruitment. Last week, we just celebrated a grand opening for Samke, Korean company, tier one auto manufacturer here in Macon County, going to employ over maybe 150. And having worked in that space with other members of the economic development entity here in Macon County and other commissioners in the city of Tuskegee and other municipalities, just a shining example of how members of the commission can work with community and economic development. And we can share regionally with other counties. And maybe 2 weeks ago, met with some commissioners from Lee County on a potential project and from a regional perspective, how we can help each other. So just some examples of people willing to cooperate and collaborate and hopefully move the entire region and then state further.
Well, and most of the membership really doesn't know about the leadership of the structure of the board of directors and that kind of thing. But you made yourself available last year for the position of vice president. Again, as you said, you served for 6 years on the Liability Fund Board of Trustees. You've been on the legislative committee. You're one of the handful of commissioners who've completed both level one and level two of the training program. So you check all those boxes, but then you get in as vice president and you sit at the head of the table of the board of directors. And that's one of the things about the commitment of being in leadership. You've had this year, next year, you'll sit right beside the president and get ready. And then a little more than a year from now, you'll become president of the association. I don't know if you've thought about that and anything you want to accomplish or what you think ought to go on under a Miles Robinson tenure and leadership term.
Oh, yeah. We've thought about it and we're looking forward to it, utilizing some of my career experiences and working as a commissioner and already having developed relationships with other commissioners around the state. We'd certainly love to have the great leadership programs expanded and really further educate some of the commissioners on economic development, community development, and some of the processes that one would need to go through to be successful in attracting additional industry, bringing new jobs, just an overall improvement to the community. That's kind of the focus I'd love to see do more. And we're doing a lot now. ACCA is a great organization, great successes. And it's amazing how just further education and information, if shared, can really help an individual and fellow commissioner be able to go after new opportunities.
Well, we look forward to focusing on those things and focusing on expanding and growing the association's leadership. Certainly, that's something we're extremely proud of over the last few years. And anything we can do to get commissioners more involved at the local level and investing more in their community, we look forward to working with you on that. And of course, we've got a whole nother year before that starts. And from where I sit, I'm just grateful for what a consistent, committed part of this association that you've been long before you became vice president. And it was great to visit with you today. We appreciate you very much.
Yes, sir. And I thank you for this discussion. And we're just looking forward to serving all 67 counties. It's an honor and just thankful that some confidence has been placed in me in serving in that capacity. Someone said that service is the price you pay for the space that you occupy. I don't know who said it, but we're trying to live by that one.
Absolutely. And we thank you very much. You take care. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sonny.
And now we'll turn our attention to an amazing accomplishment. For the last 54 years, there's been a Green in the courthouse in Blount County. And we're going to spend a few minutes today with our friend Chris Green.
Well, thank you so much, Sonny, for including me in this chat today. I've been looking forward to it, and I'm honored that you would think of me.
Chris, of course, is probate judge and county commission chair in Blount County and has long been a fixture at the association's activities. He's completing his second term as probate judge chairman, but his investment and activities in county government in Blount County go all the way back to his junior year in high school when his father, who was then the county clerk, now we call it, of course, Chris County Administrator, ran for and was elected probate judge. Chris, it seems like you've spent your whole life in that courthouse up there, haven't you?
Pretty much so, Sonny. I sure have. I feel right at home. I remember when Dad was the county clerk, we closed at noon on Thursday, but we were open till noon on Saturday. So I spent a lot of Saturdays coming into work with my dad and just having kind of free reign of the courthouse. And that dates back to my very early childhood.
Well, it's funny to say, but it's almost hard for me to remember when I came to work here all the way back in 1988. But your dad was in office and I had the privilege of working with him. And like you, he was actively involved and understood the value of engagement in this association. And you've carried on that tradition all the way back to when you began as county administrator in 2001.
Yeah, Dad was very, very involved. I can remember tagging along at a few conventions in the early days and just being part of the county commission family, and it truly has been a family. And Dad really did see the value of the association. And I saw that firsthand back in those days. But when I started January the 8th of 2001, I came to the courthouse generally knowing a good bit about the county, but there was so much that I did not know. And if I had not had the support of the association and the educational opportunities we had, quite frankly, I don't know if I would have made it or not. But because of the association, I think I have been able to reach and maintain a level of success and accomplishment for our county.
You, of course, have contributed enormously to the association's success over the years. You just finished two terms on the County Risk Services Board of Directors. You served on the association's board, on the Insurance Fund Board of Directors, and you're also a certified county administrator. But I'd like to jump back for a minute, if we could, to those times when you were putting up campaign signs for your father and then on the same county roads putting up those campaign signs for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. My junior year in high school, my girlfriend, who's now my wife of 44 years, we put up campaign signs at every intersection, on every power pole, telephone pole. That was kind of the thing you did then. Our county was divided into 46, I think, small voting precincts. So getting to know who the committee chairmen were, and back then we called them beat committeemen or chair of the beat, getting to know those folks and getting them on your side, they were influential in the community. We worked really hard to develop those relationships back then. And even though my dad had been retired for 10 years before I decided to run for office, those relationships that were built over the years, and of course, Dad's reputation for service in the county, just was a great benefit to me in being able to step up and serve. And I can't believe I've been in this courthouse, will soon be 24 years. You just wonder where the time goes.
I know exactly what you mean. When I look in the mirror, I'm not sure I recognize the guy looking back at me. Time has certainly passed. The 54 years of service from your family, 30 years from your dad, and of course, 24 years yourself. And, you know, we go all the way back to where you started your career, those first 9 years as county administrator, and you were a leader in that group. And somewhere out of the blue, you decided to run for revenue commissioner.
Yeah, our revenue commissioner retired at that time and just kind of left the field open. And I was always interested in learning and doing things new. And quite frankly, at that time, that job paid a little bit more than our county administrator job did. And I thought, well, this will help my retirement and I'll still be here in the courthouse and can engage with people. So I ran for that office and was elected, but only 3 years into my term, there was going to be a vacancy back in the chairman probate judge's position. And I just had a real groundswell of support. All of our commissioners came and talked to me and asked me, would I consider coming back to the commission side and working? And I was able to do that. It was like coming back home. I really was glad to be back where I could make positive change and really help people on our local level. But now I tell you what it did, Sonny. It gave me a perspective. I was able to learn that revenue commissioner job inside and out. So anything to do with local taxation and how property tax worked and how it was divided, and that has served me very, very well. So I value that. But I was really glad to get back home to the county commission.
Well, I don't say this lightly, but I'm pretty sure that there is no one in the history of county government who has been county administrator, then revenue commissioner, and then probate judge and chairman. What a unique experience and what a unique set of opportunities that you've had. Your official service, of course, as probate judge will end in January. You've decided not to seek re-election. But I just wonder, when you look back on those 24 years that you've spent in the courthouse and that you've dedicated to county government, what would be the things that you're most proud of?
Sonny, my dad really, really discouraged me from running because he knew firsthand the headaches and the problems of dealing with the public. And then he was really concerned that the road and bridge condition in our county had gotten in a pretty dire situation. And he said, you're going to have all these needs. You're not going to have anything to address these needs with. So he almost talked me out of it, but I just had such a strong desire to get involved. I was so intrigued growing up and hearing my dad tell stories about working with the county commission or making this happen, trying to work toward a project. I had no idea what you had to go through to make those accomplishments or to have those stories to tell. But back to your question, Dad was right. We really didn't have much to work with. But, you know, I came and talked with you, Sonny. We tried to look at the future. I talked with Mr. John Cooper at the time, and we had a trip one on the horizon. And so we were actually able to really make some improvements there that my dad felt was going to be unattainable. And then we got through with that, and here come a trip two. And Sonny, you helped me have the opportunity to support the state gasoline tax and come and stand in solidarity with Governor Ivey back at the time that we were looking at trying to do something with the gas tax. And, you know, I had a good bit of negative blowback back home for my stance on that, but I'm very proud of stepping up. In county government, if you accomplish anything, you got to have the stomach to risk a little something. So we had to risk a little something for the future of our county and state. So I was very, very happy to have the privilege of supporting that effort. But then also, we saw that we needed to step up here on the local level in Blount County. And we proposed a ballot measure in 2016 that would raise the sales tax in our county with a significant portion of that money going to our roads and bridges. Now, people repeatedly told us, you can't do that. That can't be done. You'll never get that done on a general election ballot. But we did. We rolled up our sleeves. We had about 30, 32 community meetings where we went out and sat down with people. And so I'm really proud of supporting those efforts because I see what it's doing for us right here in Blount County and what's happening across the state.
You know, there are just so many people in elected office that don't trust the public. You know, it's been amazing to me over the years that if you tell the people what you're going to do with the money and you promise to be accountable with it, they'll trust you. There are so many people who go, I can't vote to raise taxes no matter what. But the truth is, that's not how it works. I think the people trust government more than we sometimes admit.
That's right. And it is a trust factor. And it goes back to a lot of those relationships that we were talking about. You know, we had to educate people during that time because they knew they paid taxes, but they really didn't understand where it went. And we had all this competition between municipalities and county. And we had to educate people to understand that as long as they spent their money in Blount County, it didn't matter where they spent it. It helped. Helped everybody. Of that effort, the county commission got the lion's share for roads and bridges, but we did divide some back out to municipalities and some to our school systems, but it had to be used for road and bridge improvements. What we have seen through that is our little municipalities and our school system have had a little extra money to do things with that they never had, and it's amazing the difference that makes.
Well, I've already said it a couple of times, but it's been an amazing career and journey for you and your dad, for me to visit today and remember that I had the opportunity to work with him. And, you know, our relationship, you and I, has been so special to me, and I'm grateful for that. And it's just been a remarkable legacy that won't go away, but your time in office is getting close. And I just wonder, it's the typical old question, but what do you think you'll do with your time in February of 2025?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not completely sure about that. I will be approaching my 66th birthday, and most people don't know this about me, but I have always worked bivocationally in church music, and I also have been very active in our farming community. And although I've liquidated a lot of my farming operation, I still have 40 acres where I live, and I have about 30 head of cattle. I work with those, work in my church work, and then just maintain my farm. So there's a lot to keep me busy there. And then we, of course, want to travel, and while we're able, see a lot of things in this world that we want to see. But it's bittersweet. It's wonderful to be able to reach a point of retirement and think about the future. But I'm telling you, where people miss the boat in their work life, and what I would like to say to our county commission family, especially our newly elected officials, get in there, dig in your heels, and give it all you've got. Do something. Make something happen. And then when you can be part of changing your communities and helping people in a positive way, I'm telling you, there's nothing that can replace the feeling that that gives you. And so I will always be so grateful to have had this opportunity. Now, is it hard? Yep, it's a hard road, but it is a very rewarding road. And I just encourage people out there, don't give it a halfway effort. Give it all you got and make a difference for the people you serve.
Well, Chris, that's certainly what you and your dad have done in your public service, and it really is just an amazing legacy that the two of you have left there in Blount County. And as you get ready to embark on a new chapter in your life, we just wish you well, and thank you so much for being a part of our life.
My pleasure, Sonny. Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
And now we'll turn our attention to something that is upon us, unfortunately, and that's the beginning of hurricane season here in Alabama. And our friend Jeff Smitherman, the director of the Emergency Management Agency, joins us.
Thanks, Sonny. Glad to be here.
We appreciate very much everything that your organization and your staff does to interface with and cooperate with and team up with the folks at the local level. And we thought it'd be an opportunity for us to talk about that partnership in light of hurricane season from June 1 all the way to the end of November. And we say frequently that we're in Tornado Alley, and unfortunately, we're kind of in Hurricane Alley, too.
Yeah, so we are. As a matter of fact, often we talk about all the disasters that Alabama has, and we're subject to every natural disaster except for a volcano, and we may not have covered every inch of ground on that yet. But hurricanes draw the most attention because of the level of devastation they bring in a localized area. And what's unique for Alabama is that we have a small coastline, but the hurricanes impact really the entire state. We had hurricanes out of the 2020 season that actually approached us from Mississippi, not the coastline, and we had hurricane strength winds all the way up in central Alabama. So it is an entire state effort, and we rely heavily on those not impacted to support those who are. So that's a program that we work closely with the counties to assist with.
Absolutely. And emergency management really is the best example, I think, in the state that we have with county-state coordination and cooperation and teamwork. Even the most robust county EMA operations not ready to respond to a hurricane by itself. And tell us a little bit about the preparation that your team makes for hurricane season and how we respond together.
Absolutely. So as we were discussing earlier, while the season goes from 1 June to 30 November, as soon as the season's over, we begin our prep for the next year. We meet with the coastal counties and others that may have been impacted in that season, along with our exercise after action review, and we start looking at our plans and preparations and start making adjustments, because we will start in March with updating the plan, briefing that plan, followed by an April, May timeframe hurricane exercise at the state level. So we start right off as soon as the season's over, preparing for the next season while we're in the midst of the tornado season as well.
Well, I think it is interesting, the hard work that goes on behind the scenes that many people, even those of us directly involved in county government, don't know about, and the interaction between your team and the team at the local level isn't just during hurricane season either.
Right. It's year-round all hazards. But one of the things that we try really hard to do in our coordination role is to work and bring those federal resources in, not just following a natural disaster or a major disaster. FEMA has a lot of resources for technical assistance to help build out the plans. So we work and identify whatever gaps any of the local jurisdictions have. And based on their request, we'll work with FEMA to bring those resources in. And we'll continuously set up meetings with the counties. And we encourage the county EMA director to bring in their local elected officials to be part of those meetings so that they can better understand what the needs are and what resources are available.
Well, and you've just completed your 2-year anniversary as director of State Emergency Management Agency. Talk a little bit about what's gone on in the last couple of years, if you can.
So I actually was appointed as the interim acting director in May of 22, but didn't get the final full-time appointment until January 12th. And if you remember, Selma tornado. I was actually in the governor's office getting my appointment letter while the tornado had just cleared Selma, was on its way to Autauga and Elmore County. So I knew if I didn't get that right, I may be the shortest tenured director in the state's history. So that's just an example of how it goes with emergency management. It's always out there. You never know where it's coming from. So it's been an action-packed 2 years, but I wouldn't have it any other way. As far as if something's going to happen, I definitely want to be involved in doing whatever we can to make it better.
Well, you mentioned those two tornadoes in January of 23, which were devastating in those two communities. But on the backside, looking at the response, I remember those Jefferson County employees that spent weeks in Autauga County helping clean up. And that's just another example of how we respond together as a team. The state level coordination, and then at the local level, using your mutual aid system and resources to respond better than any of us can on our own.
That's right. And it was from all four corners of the state. We had representatives, I think, at least from Baldwin, Houston, Madison, all over the state in that region, Autauga, Elmore, Dallas, and Coosa, and assist with the damage assessments. And Alabama actually has a really good reputation in the emergency management profession nationwide. And they ask, how are y'all successful? Well, it's not because of me and my agency. It's that effort and experience and what the locals can do. So it really speaks volumes to what the counties and the municipalities do to be prepared and support each other that really builds that reputation.
It does. It helps us respond for the citizens. And earlier this month, the Emergency Management Association held its annual preparedness conference. Your staff was there in a big way, helping that conference move forward. You were there and talked to the members about some changes in the EMPG program that you restructured with an eye on making sure that the county programs can stay vital at the local level. And we appreciate very much that even though you've got a state hat, that sometimes it's necessary to take it off and put a local hat on.
Absolutely. I try to look at things through their lens. I don't have the background and experience, so I rely on their county emergency manager directors to assist me with that. Tell me, what can we do better to support you all? And we try really hard to do everything we can to support them in those efforts, because the better prepared and the better they can respond, it really makes it easier for us to assist. So we really work hard to make them successful.
And of course, as we look back at this hurricane season issue, middle of September or so is kind of statistically the peak period for us. So we all need to be prepared, communicate with each other, and keep our eyes open, because I'm not an expert on that either. But I think I remember reading that the predictions for this year's season are not particularly positive.
They are not. As a matter of fact, it's historical. You know, what they produce is just a projection, but it's projected based on science. And this year's projection is the highest projection, or from our viewpoint, worst projection that they've ever put out. So it's the most projected hurricanes, the highest number of named storms, the highest number of major hurricanes that they've ever projected. And what does that mean to us? Well, I recognize it only ever takes one. I go back to Hurricane Andrew that hit the Homestead area down in South Florida. It was like the only major hurricane that year, but boy, did it have a pop. So it just takes one. And like I said earlier, that one hurricane can have an entire statewide impact. And the biggest thing is, even if you're not on the coast, don't let your guard down. Be prepared, because if it doesn't hit you, someone may need your assistance. So just invite all the local elected officials. If you've got questions, ask your emergency management director. And if they don't know the answer, we'll help get that information.
Well, that's right. And we'll continue to interface at the state level as the association communicates on almost a daily basis with your staff. And we're grateful for you making those folks available to us and for us to be able to help coordinate as we get ready for what we'll cross our fingers and hope that the folks making the predictions are wrong. But if they're right, we're going to need to be coordinating and partnering even more in the next few months.
Yes, sir. We will.
Jeff, thanks very much for joining us, and appreciate again very much what your staff does and the way that you partner with counties. And we thank all of you for joining us for this month's Two North Jackson podcast. We look forward to catching up with each of you again during next month's episode, which will be released and in your inbox on Wednesday, July 31st. Until then, have a great day.